All right, Monday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. Let me say it to everybody in the Rumble chat before we get rolling here tonight. Robin Aroney is on. Let me see here. Michelle Tal is on. Jules 21 Hours is on. Mr. Cool Dude is on. Salty Gonads is on. Richard Perry is on. JD Joy is on. Guitar Glenn is on. JGCK is on. General Plowman is on. Hanslick Donovan is on. Conservative Warrior is on. Let me see. Linesmanson is on. PD Frank is on. Salty Gonads, or I got him, is on. You're on again. Buckeye Nut 1968 is on. Let me see. Wade Away is on. Gloyd Shaw is on. Mike Griffith is on. Veronica 18201 is on. Todd Suff is on. Keeper 1376 is on. One Fast Rob is on. Confederate 1 is on. D9597 is on. Sheila K is on. Jetta Fog is on. Agravane is on. Golfmaster 1 is on. Sunwoo 45 is on. Blade Runner is on. Mark 1069 is on. Laura Jean Lynn is on. Texas Billy is on. K4 VMS is on. Hefner is on. Let me grab a couple more here. Uncle Wally is on. Milwaukee James is on. Sexy Pony is on. Sherry Gilbert is on. Stephan Toms is on. Grab a couple more here. K4 VMS is on. Canonon Patriot is on. Alligator Alcatraz is on. Granite 2468 is on. Let me grab one more here. One more person I haven't seen yet. Thunderbolt 7641 is on. Appreciate you guys. Love each and every one of you. All right, so let's hop into this. We're gonna start off just real quick with an Ian Carroll video about the investigation. And one of the key things is, and I don't mean, I hope, like I spent plenty of time, and we were all very misty in here watching the videos, the Charlie Kirk Memorial Worship videos, and it's tough to make that hard, you know, that hardcore right hand turn into investigations. But you have to do it. You have to be able to separate all these things. Like, I'm going to show you how much I love Trump tonight, and I'm going to show you how much I hate what he said about vaccines. And you have to be able to do that, because that is dealing with humanity. A lot of people, they think they want to pastor churches. You can't, because you really shouldn't, because I mean, here's the thing. If you're called to do it, do it. But I'm going to say a lot of people think they can, they can't. Because you have to be able to love people that you have grievous differences with. I mean, you just have to move beyond conflict. You have to be able to just say, I know that that person, I don't agree. And I know that maybe even that person backdoored me or gossiped about me. And you still have to love that person anyway. And you have to take people on a percentage basis. If you still have a mindset of a 12-year-old, middle school age girl, then you're never going to make it. Like, you're going to be black-pilled. You're going to be black-pilled. You're going to go one way or the other. You're going to be black-pilled, or you're going to be like, you know, QAnon Don. That's who you're going to be. You're going to either have to believe, I have to believe, or I don't believe in anything. That's not humanity. That's Jesus. With Jesus, you can be QAnon Don. You can be like, I'm 100% in, and whatever he says is true. Now, that's what you do, but not with Trump. Not with any person, place, or thing, never. You can love Donald Trump and accept that he's wrong a certain percentage of time. If you watch this podcast or even any of my preaching, you'll know that I go by the 80% principle. I'm like, if I believe in someone 80% of the time, I probably can be friends with them. I probably attend their church, whatever. But there's going to be a 20%. Aaron and I are very close friends. We don't agree on everything.
Yeah.
Okay, my son and I are very close friends. We don't agree on everything. My wife and I are very close friends. We don't agree on everything. That's just the way that it is. So you have to operate that way. So you have to be able to love Trump and be able to say he's wrong in the same sentence. And now, making this hard right-hand turn, hardcore right-hand turn, this investigation of the Kirk shooting is going bad. It's going bad. Something is wrong here. It smells... You know, in Florida, there's a lot of dead animals on the side of the road. You have to always be real careful not to catch one in your undercarriage as you're driving. That's what happened to me in my police car. I pulled over to help somebody, ran over like just a putrid armadillo. And it must have, like, caught little chunks of it up in my wheel well, because my car, no matter how much I washed, it smelled like a dead animal for 3 months. So something like I caught up in there or whatever it was. But anyway, this thing's starting to smell. The latest revelations coming out today, and some of this came from the doctor who examined Charlie Kirk, maybe tried to save him. None of that has been made clear. Now, here's the thing. Some of this does have to be kept sequestered. Some of this does have to be kept confidential because there is an investigation. Now, Alex Jones has put out that Tyler Robinson has confessed. I haven't seen that he confessed.
No.
Okay, so I don't know what, I mean, and I love Alex Jones, big time. Alex Jones, Steve Bannon, those are the programs that I watch, as well as others too, but I'm focused specifically on those programs. So I've never seen any confessions. Matter of fact, I've heard he's totally uncooperative, you know, since his very strange sort of text messages to him and his butt plug lover. But anyway, the latest revelations coming today were that somehow or another, Charlie Kirk has titanium bones.
Yeah.
Because according to the doctor, the 30-06 round, just so everybody knows, I've shot a lot of guns. Okay. I've shot probably more rounds than most people because I was in law enforcement for 25 years and you're mandated training. So yeah, we're shooting guns all the time. It's just like sometimes my wife will go, man, you can really drive a car. Well, yeah, I was spent hours and hours and hours and hours in a car and training in a car and how to drive a car. Not necessarily a great skill set. It's just time in.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but according to this doctor, he said from what he saw, allegedly, and again, we have no autopsy and Charlie Kirk's in the ground.
Yeah.
Why do we have no autopsy? I mean, maybe there was one and hasn't been revealed to us. I don't need the results of the autopsy revealed because you have an ongoing investigation right now with Tyler Robinson in jail. And boy, he needs to be watching his back. I mean, holy crap. But anyway, and if it's possible to watch your back when you're in prison. But anyway, 30-06 round will blow through an entire automobile. Yeah. Understand that. I mean, through the car and then through the next car. And then through the next car, a 30-06 round does not slow down until 400 yards, depending on the round. If you have another round, it's minimum of 400 yards. And when I say slow down, that doesn't mean become ineffective. I'm talking about it's at maximum speed up to 800 yards, but minimum of 400 yards. It will blow through three concrete walls. Pop, 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 pop.
Yeah.
And allegedly, this doctor said that the round hit Charlie Kirk's spine, bounced off of his spine, 30-06 round, that you take down elk with, that blows right through an elk. Bounced off of his spine, blew through his shoulder, shrapnel went into his heart. And that's the blood, you see, that it didn't shoot him in the neck. It shot him, like, in the chest. Shrapnel went into his heart, and then the bullet ricocheted, 30-06 round, ricocheted and went through his neck. And they're saying also that they have found the bullet. If that's the case, that bullet would be in rancid shape. But, folks, that's impossible. I mean, here we are again. You know, 1963, JFK. Here we are all over again. That's impossible. And there's no autopsy. And listen, I would love to be caught exclusively in the memorial of Charlie Kirk because I know he's a great man. I know he's a martyr for Christ. I know all that, but now we have to deal with not what's more important, because what's most important is that he's in heaven. That's what gets people get sidetracked in their thinking, and they're like, well, we have to find out who did it. That's the most important thing. It's not the most important thing. The most important thing is that he's in heaven. He caused people to go to heaven, because
yeah.
That's all that's going to count. When you're standing at the great white throne judgment, believe me, all that will count for you and for me and everybody else is, where am I going? Am I going to be a goat or a lamb? A wheat or a tare. That's all that really matters. It really is. That's all that really matters. But anyway, so this stuff is starting to mount up. That sort of clinical forensic diagnosis is absolutely asinine. A 30-06 round would blow all the way through a person, through everything behind them, and then through three walls behind that before it stops. And they're allegedly this is going to be bouncing off of bones. That couldn't, and it doesn't matter what kind of, if it's a fragmentation round or anything else. It would that sort of velocity cannot be stopped by human anatomy. So this thing is just absolutely going sideways. So I wanted to launch the show with a brief Ian Carroll video, maybe a minute and a half. It's titled, you know, the evidence is mounting. The evidence is mounting that we're having a cover up. Play for me.
Breaking news, folks. Turns out
Charlie Kirk had bones of steel, strong enough to stop bullets. We just got our first bit of actual confirmation about findings of the autopsy, and they make the story even more unbelievable, if you could believe it. We'll tell you more all about that in just a minute. But the important thing is that Tyler Robinson is safe and sound in FBI custody, waiting for all the cameras to shut off and the guards to take a nap so that he can do a little bit of bedsheet origami. The FBI has charged him with aggravated murder, along with a host of other supporting charges, and are seeking the death penalty. It turns out Tyler Robinson almost got away clean, leaving the scene with no evidence, except for a detailed text message confession about how he used his firearm to eliminate the acquired target, and then got into his vehicle and was on the lam for 0800 hours. Pay no attention to the fact that we now know that the FBI has footage of the shooter taking the shot, and they specifically cut the video they released to start just after that part. Obviously, not because he never took the shot, probably never even had the rifle on the roof, but because of redacted. Pay no attention to the old man actively causing a distraction to help the shooter escape, or to the more than 10 strange flying objects that have been located in the cell phone footage, or to the fact that the wound doesn't match the shot, or to the fact that we are being shown a fabricated text message chain, or to the new photo that surfaced of bro stopping by Dairy Queen for a little blizzy while he's the subject of a statewide manhunt. Trust the FBI to get to the bottom of it, just like they did with the Epstein files. Because just last week, Kash Patel came out and officially told us that Epstein never even trafficked anyone to anyone. Hundreds of victims are all lying to us. The court that convicted Epstein was totally wrong. Ignore all the evidence and forget all about it. Midterms are just a year away, and you're supposed to hate your neighbor way more by then. So they're going to need you to stop talking.
So there you go. So here's the thing, just on that. And what did Ian Carroll say that wasn't true? Oh, Tom's lock, stock, and barrel into Ian Carroll. Did I say that? Aaron, did I say that?
Nope.
Okay. But what did he say that was incorrect? All right, you have this very strange text confession, which was the exact same thing, and I've been calling him Lance, but it's Vance. Vance Bolter had in Minnesota. Very strange text, pseudo confession with the fat man that he moved in with. Strangely, again, very strange sort of murderer. The one who murdered Lisa Hortman and her husband, who was, they call a Trump supporter, even though he had no King's pamphlets in his vehicle and was nominated and put in place by Tim Walz and was actually executing Lisa Hortman because she voted against a Democratic Party immigration bill. So, and they call that, of course, a MAGA shooter. Absolute lies. And he had a very strange text conversation with his roommate. Not this roommate, I don't think was a furry, but anyway, this roommate, all the right statements were put in, you know, that I acted alone in this and that you had nothing to do with it. Why would you have to say that to somebody who knows you acted alone and had nothing to do with it?
Right.
But that makes sure that they get it on the record. And this, that, and Tyler Robinson's text is just like that. Tom, are you saying he didn't do it? I'm not saying that he did or didn't do it. I'm saying there's more to it. In my opinion. Then you have the man who is strangely a witness to 9/11, strangely makes in a false bomb report, calls in a false bomb report to the Utah Marathon. This old man who shows up at various times in various tragic moments and happens to be a guy who causes a distraction saying, I'm the shooter. And then confesses that he did it so that the shooter could get away. And then it's just assumed that Tyler Robinson is the only shooter. Now, according to Alex Jones's inside sources, the FBI is subjugating any investigation into anybody but Tyler Robinson. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? I mean, it sounds very familiar that, okay, you obviously have some sort of coordinated effort here. You have many leftards in Utah who were prognosticating it, predicting it the day before, and then when it happened, go, see, we told you. None of those people have been raided. None of those people have been brought in. None of those people have been interrogated. That's strange. Tyler Robinson has now been connected with the armed, whatever armed militia, the queer armed militia of Salt Lake City. He's been, and none of those people have been brought in, even though he's now been linked to them. Strange. So you have the distraction, which is obviously a coordinated effort. So nobody's looking for the shooter. You have the entire roof gun problem. And like, there was a special ops guy who put out a video, and people kind of tore it down because he was breaking down a different rifle than a 30-06. Well, it'd be more difficult to break down a 30-06 than in that demonstration video, because you have to have a certain Lockheed key, different things. So you're talking about, 30-06, a long rifle, longer than an AR-15. So it would actually be harder to hide that weapon than it would be even an AR-15, which is what he's sort of demonstrating on. And that wasn't an AR-15, but it was, it wasn't a 30-06. That doesn't equate, because it's not the same gun. Well, it'd be harder with 30-06 because it's longer and harder to take apart. And many guns, they actually have shorter barrels. The 30-06, you're talking about a hunting rifle, just has a stout barrel. It's long, very hard to hide. So anyway, and the FBI, we have video of everything but him shooting. Isn't that weird? Everything but him shooting we have now, according to Ian Carroll. Everything. And then, of course, just the very obvious that the wound does not match the shot. And the doctor's report makes the wound match the shot. And all of us have common sense. If you are shot through the left side of your neck with a 30-06 from somebody directly in front of you, slightly angled down, where is the blood splatter going to go? Where is the blood splatter going to go? Where is it going to go? If you are shot straight ahead from an angle, 200 yards out, 30-06, left side of the neck, the exit wound is going to be in the back. It wasn't. It was to the side. There are a myriad of strange flying objects that are unidentifiable, that are not bugs, in the air, one of which is a bullet coming from his back right, which would then line up with an exit wound to his left side of his neck.
Yeah.
And there's a bullet right there in the air. But none of this matters, because from the same FBI who said that Jeffrey Epstein was not trafficking women to other people other than themselves. So he was banging 30, 40 women a day. That he was trafficking to himself. Yeah. I mean, that's the same sort of logic as believing that Charlie Kirk was shot from straight ahead, from 200 yards out, from an elevated position. I'm not saying Tyler Robinson wasn't up there. I'm saying, was he shot from there? Well, you have to believe it. Just like you watch the Spruder film, JFK, you have to believe it because someone was shot. No, you don't. You don't have to believe something because someone was shot. We need to get into the forensic data about how they were shot, where they were shot, so we can catch the slime ball who shot them.
Yeah.
Or the conspirators that shot them. Tom's saying that it is Israel. Did anybody even hear me use the word Israel?
No.
I don't know if it's Israel or not. Am I exonerating them? No. Am I exonerating our own CIA, Mossad, MI6, the trans community? I'm not exonerating anybody. I'm saying that none of it lines up. And just like Kash Patel's summation of Jeffrey Epstein doesn't line up. He was not in intel.
Okay.
He did not traffic women to anybody but himself. Who has ever trafficked women to themselves? You don't traffic women to yourself. You may find a woman for yourself or various times, and maybe you've got a couple in circulation like Hugh Hefner, but hundreds to yourself?
Right.
Who does that when you have a picture of Prince Andrew with Virginia Giuffre? Billy Clinton with Virginia Giuffre. Numerous people on the Epstein flight logs. Aaron, has that come out yet?
Nope.
Okay. No Epstein flight logs yet. Nope. And that, by the way, is perfectly available. Not talking about the files. Not talking about tapes. The Epstein flight log is available. But yet, Trump's FBI has not released it, which is probably why he's burning it down with Pam Bondi. So just very strange. And then, maybe the coup de grace of them all, he stops for a blizzard in the midst of this? Tyler Robinson stops for a blizzard. Well, maybe this is like his last meal or something. What Is it just that he's a patsy? They were like, hey, do this for us and we'll make sure this happens, and they dump it all on him. Like, that's never happened before.
No.
Then they shoot you, then they shoot your shooter.
Yeah.
You know. So anyway, just doesn't add up to me. It's common sense. When they're asking you to deny common sense, there's a major problem. All right, let's change subjects. Let's go to Pam Bondi versus Donald Trump. Here we have, everyone saw this, obviously very viral. Pam, I have reviewed over 30 statements and posts saying that essentially, same old story. Now, Trump is very adamant. He doesn't really care much about the Epstein thing because he never did anything. He's actually tried to help them or whatever. He doesn't care much about it because there's a bunch of lies in there that have already been debunked that are in the file that was maintenanced by people like James Comey, Maureen Comey, John Brennan, and James Clapper, who are just seditious, disgusting, repulsive liars. Remember, they're liars who lie and lie about their lies. But anyway, saying that, essentially, same old story as last time, all talk, no action. Nothing is being done. Okay, listen, this is a public excoriation. Alex Jones says Pam Bondi not making it through the year, or Kash Patel, and I agree with him. Nothing is being done. You don't do this with somebody you're going to keep on. And you don't bring in Andrew Bailey from Missouri as your co-deputy FBI director. You don't do that. Okay. I mean, Andrew Bailey's they need to fire both Patel. Need to fire Patel. Bongino already wants to go, but they need to fire Bongino, Patel, and Bondi and get Ken Paxton and Andrew Bailey going. Ken Paxton as your attorney general and put Andrew Bailey over the FBI, and you watch how many people go to frickin' prison. Watch. And here's the thing. We're being accused of weaponizing the DOJ by the people who weaponized the DOJ. Who cares? And you're like, well, if we do it to them, they're going to do it to us. They've already done it to us. And if we don't do it to them, they're going to do it more. That's about as clear as it could be, yeah. Right? What about Comey, Adam Shifty Shift, and Letitia? Absolutely, absolute criminals on the record, on tape, criminals, in writing, criminals. They're all guilty as bleep, but nothing is going to be done. Then we almost put in a Democrat-supported U.S. attorney in Virginia. He's like, how is this crap happening? And people are like, how would you not know if you're Trump? How many employees does Donald J. Trump have? I'm talking about that's part of his administration. I'm talking about the military. How many? 4 million. 4 million people staff and administration. So you don't know everything. And you don't know everybody. And I'm not excusing Trump because I'm about to jump his crap in a minute. But I'm just saying that that's about vaccines. He's right here, 100%. Then we almost put in a Democrat-supported U.S. attorney. Who's doing that? Republicans. Because Republicans are no different than Democrats. Again, and I don't want to list deep into this, but what it's all about is this bourgeois elitist beehive. And what they do is hive mindset is they're like, okay, and every Republican, with the exception of certain people like Marjorie Taylor Greene, Thomas Massie, and a few others, like I said, 10, 12 out of 535 on Capitol Hill are real conservative people, real conservative politicians. But what they are is I'm center left and you're hyper left. And we, since I'm center left as a Republican, that's what they'll say. That's what they really are. Ted Cruz, center left. He is. He's center left. They all are. They're center left and they believe they know better than us. And they meet with their leftist colleagues like Chuck Schumer. That's why you had James Cuckboy Lankford and his border security bill. They know better because they're all leftists and they're like, you know what? We know better than everybody. I'm going to fake being a Republican so that I can keep getting elected over and over again because we don't want them to put a legitimate conservative in here. So, but we are the superior mind and we will now inflict upon America, you know, all of our ideas, our policies, and our agenda because we know better than everybody else. That's honestly what they think. I'm talking about basically 99% of Republicans and all Democrats. That's how they think. And that's see, Trump is that 1%. He is Thomas Massie, even though they fight each other. He is Marjorie Taylor Greene. They are actual legitimate conservatives willing to lose their jobs for conservatism. And so he's like, how in the world are these things happening? A woke rhino who was never going to do his job. Oh, wait. Then we almost put a Democrat-supported U.S. attorney in Virginia. That person was put in place by Republicans. Because, again, they're all leftists and, like, we don't want to be too right-wing here. Almost put in a Democrat-supported U.S. attorney in Virginia with a really bad Republican past. See? A Democrat-supported U.S. attorney, also mostly Republican-supported, who's actually a leftist but calls himself a Republican. We don't have any of those operatives in the Democratic Party, but we are thoroughly infiltrated with those operatives in the Republican Party. In Virginia, with a really bad Republican past, a woke rhino who was never going to do his job. That's why two of the worst Dem senators pushed him so hard. Oh, but this Republican's reasonable, so we as Democrats are going to push him. Anytime you hear a Democrat who endorses a Republican, know that the Republican is actually a Democrat. With the lie of he's reasonable. He even lied to the media and said he quit. And that we had no case. No, I fired him. And there is a great case and many layers, and legal pundits say so. Lindsey is a real good lawyer and likes you a lot. We can't delay any longer. It's killing our reputation and credibility. They impeached me twice and indicted me five times over nothing. Justice must be served, President Donald J. Trump. So he's calling her out, basically saying, you are on the clock, lady. And she should be. We all didn't feel good about Pam Bondi. Okay, I wanted Matt Gaetz. Matt Gaetz would have been great. Then my second choice was Ken Paxton. He would have been great. My third choice was Bailey out of Missouri. And this is exactly what needs to happen. And again, I just want to reiterate this to everybody. We can't do it to them because they'll do it to us is sending our country to hell. Yep. With that mindset. Because if you don't do it to them, they're going to continue to do it to you. And our cases are all legitimate. Adam Schiff is guilty of mortgage fraud over and over and over again. You and I would already be in prison if we did what Schiff did. Same thing with Letitia James. Already as guilty can be, as well as the conspiracy against rights, the Comey, Clapper, Brennan, Obama, Joe Biden, and numerous others could be lumped into that. You know, there's just so many names. But anyway, so Pam Bondi's been put on the clock. She's been made aware that, you know what, your job is on the line. Go to the next one for me. Project Veritas tweet, exclusive: Trump officials hide Veritas Patricia Lalas investigation from Trump. See? A lot of this has been taken care of, but some of it hasn't. And the people who are right, the closest to Trump, are AIPAC-controlled chills. Susie Wiles being one of them.
Yep.
You cannot trust these people. But they do conservative things. They do conservative things. But remember, Donald Trump did the most conservative radical thing without Susie Wiles, and that was overturn Roe v. Wade. He did that without her. The people that are closest to Trump, you really have to watch them. Whether it's J.D. Vance with Palantir. And listen, I want to believe in Vance. Aaron says it.
Yeah.
Aaron's like, I want to believe. I do too. And listen, there's a part of me that does, okay? I mean, I don't... Did he just take the money? Did he sign an oath of allegiance, or did he just take the money? I don't know. But you can't trust the people necessarily around Trump. Because even right here, Trump officials hide Veritas Patricia Lalas investigation from Trump. Trump to fire U.S. attorney in charge. Trump realized that something suspicious is going on in Virginia. ABC News reports, that's the Letitia James case, and probably Shifty case too. ABC News reports at Real Donald Trump will fire U.S. attorney from Eastern District of Virginia, Eric Siebert. That's the one we're just talking about. That's the fake rhino that he is excoriating Pam Bondi about, to bring charges against Letitia James for mortgage fraud. Letitia James has committed mortgage fraud 30 times, folks. It's on paper.
Yeah.
It's sworn and affirmed by a notary public. On paper. She swore in front of a notary public that her dad was her husband. Or her brother, whatever it was.
Husband.
Yeah, husband. And who would ever marry that double wide? But anyway, a DOJ insider tells Veritas there's more to the story. Siebert, the attorney he fired, overseeing the Patricia Lalas case, misled Trump about his knowledge. Evidence from Veritas confirms this. Recap, Lalas reported former AG Bill Barr's alleged visa fraud scheme. Remember that? We showed that on the podcast. To the FBI. Months later, she was charged. That's the way it always is. That's our FBI, our justice system, folks, doesn't even rise to the level of Banana Republic. It's worse. Not only do they not charge the criminals, they charge those who whistleblow on the criminals.
Yeah.
Months later, she was charged. DOJ official came to Veritas, confirmed that Barr was using DOJ FBI connections to target Layla's. Why is the government still shielding Bill Barr? Remember, Bill Barr was actually bringing in illegals via a visa fraud scheme and getting paid to do so. That's a fact. Absolute freaking fact. And that was never reported to Donald Trump. What happened was, is that she was criminally charged by Trump's DOJ. Trump doesn't know anything about this. He has 4 million employees. Tom, you're just trying to excuse Trump. I'm not. I wouldn't excuse Trump if it wasn't excusable. He doesn't know. And these people are all in this stuff together. Seabird is part of this. So Seabird gets touted by Democrats. He's great. Strike one, two, three, four, five, a million. It's over. And now Seabird, strangely, who refuses to actually charge somebody who committed a crime, Bill Barr, but charged his accuser, that'd be like charging a rape victim with the rape, refuses to charge Bill Barr, and now refuses to charge Letitia James because they're all part of the globalist leftist bourgeois elite, and he's one of their defenders. Trump doesn't know any of this. He still operates believing that there's white hats and black hats. There's not. There's spirit of God and spirit of the Antichrist, and that's it. It doesn't mean everybody who's part of the spirit of the Antichrist even knows that they are. Spirit of the world, whatever you want to call it, New World Order, whatever you want to call it, that's what it is. So Eric Seibert, he's out, and now we just need to see who's in because Letitia James is lock, stock, and barrel. Dead to rights is guilty. So is Adam Schiff, the mortgage fraud. All right, let's go to the next one. Colin Rugg video. The Trump administration, so here's the whole Tylenol thing. The Trump administration recommends against using Tylenol during pregnancy, linking it to autism. Play for me.
Be very careful with what he says, and he should, but I'm not so careful with what I say. But you have certain groups. The Amish, as an example, they have essentially no autism. First, effective immediately, the FDA will be notifying physicians that the use of acetaminophen. Is that okay? Which is basically commonly known as Tylenol during pregnancy can be associated with a very increased risk of autism. So taking Tylenol is not good. All right, I'll say it. It's not good. For this reason, they are strongly recommending that women limit Tylenol use during pregnancy unless medically necessary. That's, for instance, in cases of extremely high fever that you feel you can't tough it out, you can't do it. I guess there's that. It's a small number of cases, I think.
All right, let's get to the edge of the cliff and let's deep dive into this whole bad boy, shall we? So I look at this. Here's the good side of it, is I look at this as a food dye thing. RFK Jr., cleaning up some things. Women who are pregnant shouldn't take anything. Let God do what he wants to do, which is perfect health, and let the body do what it's supposed to do. You shouldn't be dumping acetaminophen into your body. But anyway, especially when you're pregnant. I don't have much of a problem with it for pain killing for, you have an ache or a pain or whatever, but not when you're pregnant. But I don't look at this as a sole cause of autism. I think that is not true. And the black pill, now Aaron is like my version of Owen Schroyer. Okay. Aaron's black pilled. Okay. Aaron's gone. Okay. Like
he's gone. He hates everyone.
Oh, I'm scrolling ahead on the chat here to see what everybody's. But so like, oh man, you guys, awesome. Appreciate you guys in the chat. But anyway, so the good thing about it, Aaron's not going to backdoor me or anything. But I'm just like, oh, it's Owen Schroyer. I've just screwed over Alex Jones. I can't stand what he did. But anyway, so he's black pilled. I'm not. So Aaron ushers in the black pill version or a different side of the story. So Aaron looks at this, and I agree with Aaron on this, as a diversion. Not even by Trump. Again, Trump doesn't know. Okay, I mean, here's the thing. He should know. Sometimes he should know. Sometimes he shouldn't know. There's time. What drives me crazy is when he should know, and we'll get to all that. But anyway, in this, he doesn't know. Donald Trump still believes in the medical infrastructure of this country.
Yeah.
He still believes that there are some good media people. That's waning now. He's finally come to the conclusion pretty much there isn't. But anyway, he still believes in some bare bones infrastructure of the United States where there's some of it's still good. It's all not good. But anyway, for me, this is a distraction. And Aaron, put that up side by side. So in my opinion, this I got this from Aaron. This is Aaron's opinion, and I agree with him, is that what you happen to have is people taking Tylenol because of the effects of the vaccine. And then Tylenol gets blamed for the vaccine injury or the vaccine death, right? Your vaccine exposure, fever, seizure. Fever, what does everybody give their kid when they have a fever? Tylenol. So then they end up with autism. Was it really one round? Was it one round of Tylenol, or was it the fact that the vaccine penetrated the blood-brain barrier to the brain?
Yeah.
Which one was it? Now, that's true that Tylenol was there, maybe even exacerbated the autism or exacerbated the body's vulnerability to get autism via the vaccine, but did it cause it? I don't think so. It just is it's just a bystander to the autism. Listen, and this is a way, again, I don't like saying this about Trump. This is a way for Trump to still buoy Operation Warp Speed.
Yep.
See, I mean, it's not the vaccines. It is the vaccines. Listen, when you go from 1 in 10,000 kids that get autism to 1 in 36 in 20 years, it's the vaccines. Maybe 40 years. It's the vaccines, folks. That lines up. You want to talk about correlation? The only reason why we don't have causation has not been enough studies. And by the way, there has been studies, definitive studies that have proven, the Harvard study being one of them, that have proven that vaccines cause autism. I played an entire video from ABC News that said it.
Yeah.
And nobody talks about it anymore. It's absolutely true. Vaccines cause autism. And now Trump is deflecting here and saying that Tylenol caused it. Do I think the positive? So, Tom, the pregnant women should take Tylenol? Is that what you're saying? No. Again, you need to learn how to walk in nuance. Does this mean you hate Trump? No. I don't think Trump knows any better. Trump has never looked into this. I mean, Trump didn't even know that the media was calling him dead for an entire 72-hour period because he wasn't paying attention. He was playing golf and getting direct calls from Susie Wiles and Pete Hegseth about real things, not what was going on Twitter. So he doesn't always know these things. So what you have here is a causation versus correlation thing. And all that happens is that these kids get sick and they get a fever and their parents give them Tylenol, but they got sick and got the fever from the vaccine. It wasn't, and then get autism. It has nothing to do with, they get two pills or even a day or two of Tylenol. And here's the thing too, is that boys have a much smaller, more vulnerable blood-brain barrier. Who gets most autism? Mostly boys. And why is it? Even Trump even said it. And to his credit, he said this in that same speech about Tylenol. This is why you have to walk the nuance. I can love Trump and criticize him. I can love him and criticize. All of us do that to our friends, do we not? If we're honest. I mean, do we not criticize our friends to our wives? Do we not? I can pretty much guarantee you that every one of your friends has criticized you to their wife. Well, they really think there's not. I mean, they did, but you still love them. But to your wife, you're like, there's the truth about what I really think of them. And it's not necessarily horrible. It's the same. But Trump, to his credit, in the same speech, said that there's certain communities in America, which is the Amish, of course, or Mennonite, who have no autism at all. Mm-hmm. And he even said, though, they don't take vaccines and they don't take Tylenol. So he knows. To at least some degree, there's a problem here because the child vaccine schedule where we went from 3 vaccines when I was a kid to 73. There was just a slight increase of autism from 1 in 10,000 kids to 1 in 36. It's not Tylenol. Tylenol just happens to be a companion. Doesn't mean it might be, doesn't mean it's not a mitigating factor.
Right.
But it's not causing autism. Here's what Peter McCullough had to say. Aaron sent this to me, but this is from Peter McCullough. And Peter McCullough did not like that whole supposition, just so you know. And you need to listen to Peter McCullough over even RFK Jr. and definitely over Donald Trump when it comes to medical things. The pathway to developmental regression, autism, begins with vaccines, not acetaminophen. Could that be any clearer? Tylenol used for fever control for 60 years. Confounding by indication, likely behind association. In other words, correlation, not causation. A leading cause of Tylenol use during pregnancy is maternal vaccination that started about 25 years ago. Leading cause of Tylenol use during pregnancy. So you have both the kid given Tylenol after pregnancy, obviously, and the Tylenol used during pregnancy. A leading cause of Tylenol use during pregnancy, now we're talking about the woman, is maternal vaccination that started about 25 years ago. We didn't used to give vaccines to mothers. So mothers end up, they get vaccinated. Remember Rochelle Walensky said, told women to get vaccinated, knowing that 28 out of 32 women in the vaccine trial miscarried. Systemic inflammation and the reason why Tylenol is indicated, e.g. post-combination vaccination, is the real driver of encephalitis and the post-encephalactic state of autism. So mothers who end up with vaccine side effects, the same here, fever, and they're vaccinated, take Tylenol while they're pregnant.
Yeah.
But what was it? Was it the Tylenol or the mother's own vaccination? I think we all know the answer to that. It's the vaccination. All right, let's go to the next one. I just want to show you this. Does this enrage me? Yeah. Yeah, it does. All right, this is a Hustle B video. President Trump, I had the vaccine. I was very happy with it. Play it for me.
Secretary of the Treasury. Quick follow-up. Today is the first day of early voting in the Commonwealth of Virginia. Are you planning on campaigning for Winston Sears, John Reed, or Jason Mayaras?
Well, I'm going to have to look at some of them. As you know, it's sort of a semi-local election. I've been watching it. I've been seeing the ads.
I would appreciate it as a Virginia voter.
Who do you like of the group? Who do you like?
The whole ticket, sir.
All of them? You like them? All right.
Yes, sir.
Well, I'll take a very strong look.
Appreciate that.
For you, I'm going to look.
Secretary Kennedy's panel on vaccine changed its broad recommendations on COVID-19 vaccines today. Are you comfortable with that change, or would you like to see Americans take the vaccines that were developed under your tenure?
Yeah. Well, the vaccines, according to a lot of people, and if you look at George, have had a tremendous, Operation Warp Speed. It was just according to just about everybody, was one of the greatest things that any president has ever done in this country. So we're very proud of it. I'm very proud of it. I'm also very proud of Regeneron and some of the things that came out of, all of the labs and all of the research that we've done. So I don't know exactly what the final determination is, but I had the vaccine. I was very happy with it. Here I am, right? Here
so
I
just, am. Have you had Bobby it again? Have you had
Bobby,
it again?
Bobby Kennedy seems to be on.
Now here it comes. I had the vaccine. I'm happy with it. Here I am. Okay, Donald, the only problem is 35 million people aren't. Those are the deaths attributed to the vaccination from the Society of Actuaries. Problem is that we've had a 32% increase in excess mortality in the working cohort in America. 32% more people are dying from the age of 25 to 64 than there used to be. 32% since your great Operation Warp Speed. Why is he saying that? He doesn't know any of that. He needs to spend a day with Edward Dowd. He needs to spend a day with Robert W. Malone. And listen, he's putting Robert W. Malone on the vaccine board for the CDC. So Trump is great. I love the man. I don't like excoriating Donald Trump. But that is ignorance wrapped in stupidity.
Yeah.
Right there. Yeah, you had the vaccination because some people did walk away pretty much scot-free from the vaccination because it depended on the amount of nanolipid particles in the vaccination that was not monitored because it wasn't actually professionally administered. The amount of nanolipid particles, the percentage of nanolipid particles in each vaccine vial was not professionally monitored. It was not professional, the calculus was not done in a professional manner. So some people got a massive amount of nanolipid particles, which is what brings it to the various areas of the body. So some people didn't have it get transferred to the blood-brain barrier or to the lining of their heart or their heart itself, where you had mass inflammation caused by the endless regenerating of the X-spike protein, your body attacking it. So Donald Trump did walk away scot-free. I'm glad he did. I prayed over people in my family who were vaccinated, and they walked away scot-free. I'm glad they did. But many did not. I mean, you have all of these doctors coming forward, the ones who are honest. That's why, can you believe the person who says what they say about the Charlie Kirk shooting? These are the same people that you weren't allowed to enter their clinic without a mask on. Do they really know anything at all, these doctors? I don't know. But anyway, you have many doctors, Mary Tyler, Tally Bowden, Peter McCullough. These are people who see doctors. I mean, these are people who have saved COVID patients, used ivermectin, monoclonal therapies, just rudimentary procedures, therapeutics for COVID-19, saved myriads of life. Everybody who went to them was saved from COVID-19. Hydroxychloroquine, all those therapeutics. But anyway, they're saying we used to have zero, statistically speaking, myocarditis patients ever. That's Peter McCullough had like two in his entire career. Peter McCullough's in his 60s. One of the most published cardiologists to ever be a cardiologist is Peter McCullough. He had one or two myocarditis patients ever in his career. And now his clinic is full of them. Donald Trump, who says he likes the vaccination and Operation Warp Speed is one of the greatest accomplishments in human history. Really? I mean, it's absolute stupidity wrapped in ignorance or ignorance wrapped in stupidity. Let me just show you this real quick. Ian Miller tweet. Here's the idiocy. Richard Hanania went on the bottom. I don't even know who that is, but it's just a typical leftard making sure that he meets the requirements to be a leftard. Just got my flu and COVID vaccines this month, a few days ago, September 19th. So happy to live in a state that still believes in science. Okay, well, let's look. Stop laughing over there. A Cleveland Clinic study in what year, Aaron?
2025
estimated that last year's flu vaccine had a negative 27% effectiveness.
Oops.
What does that mean? It means that people that got the flu shot were significantly more likely to test positive for flu than people who didn't get it. And by the way, that's exactly the same thing as the COVID shot that Donald Trump was just espousing. It's called 27% negative efficacy, which means you're 27% more likely to get it than not get it. Then why would you ever take it? So that you can qualify to be an effeminate leftist gay boy like this guy. I'm qualified. So happy that I live in a state that still believes in science.
What an idiot.
I mean, I've now qualified. I'm just waiting for my invitation to this year's DNC. Oh, I qualify. You're qualified. You're gonna be 6 feet under soon. Moron. All right, let's go to the next one. Trump Army video. Breaking, HHS Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. drops a bombshell on pharmaceutical companies. Play for me.
The president just signed an executive order that's an historic change in the way that pharmaceutical advertising is done on television. And the order basically reinstates or gives us now the opportunity to reinstate the 1997 rules. Prior to 1997, pharmaceutical advertisers were required to put all the side effects on their ads. Many of them didn't advertise because of what it did to the length of the advertising. And that the removal of that requirement in 1997, FDA changed the rule to allow them to report the side effects on a website or on a telephone. And they only had to report a few of them on television. And that triggered a proliferation of these ads. There's only two countries in the world that allow direct-to-consumer advertising by pharmaceutical companies on television. We're one of those countries. New Zealand is the other. It's had a disastrous impact on human health, on people's relationships with their doctors, and really on the entire gestalt where Americans are led to believe that there's a pill for every ill. and that you don't have to exercise, you don't have to pay attention to your diet. Whatever goes wrong with you, you can fix with it.
So credit producer Aaron. There's only two countries on the planet who allow pharmaceutical ads at all. I mean, aren't you tired of it? You know, you're sitting there and you're sitting there like you got little kids like Aaron has and like Brent has. My kids are adults now. We'd all laugh at it. But say you're sitting there like with your mom, you know, and here comes the typical, you know, erectile dysfunction commercial that you have to sit through with your mother sitting next to you talking about penises. You know, and all the other ones. I mean, it's so old. And I mean, it just gets so old and it's so irritating. It never ends. It's one of those commercials after another. But anyway, those of you who are my age, you remember when they were outlawed. We never had pharmaceutical commercials until somewhere in the 2000s. So now what RFK, again, there was all the negative. Here's the positive. And I'm like Aaron, we wanted them completely off the air, but at least now you're going to have to list their side effects. They do like a quick one and they put them in this tiny, they do a little quick mentioning at the end and they have those little tiny subtitles at the bottom. But now they're going to have to be prolific. They're going to have to be right there for everybody to see, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
Let's switch back to Charlie Kirk for a minute. Ryan Savitra video. Ilhan Omar says Charlie Kirk should be left in the dustbin of history. Play for me.
I just think it was the video where it called him Dr. Frankenstein and said his monster shot him through the neck. I mean, obviously, this is a person. And looking at this, this is someone who was a husband and a father. And in the days after his shocking death, that happened as a result of his views or happened as a result as he was sharing his views publicly with people, that people found it jarring to hear such criticism of that in the immediate aftermath of
what I find jarring is that there are so many people willing to excuse the most reprehensible things that he said, that they agree with that, that they're willing to have monuments for him, that they want to create a day to honor him and that they want to produce resolutions in the House of Congress honoring his life and legacy. It is one thing to care about his life because obviously so many people loved him, including his children and wife. But I am not going to sit here and be judged for not wanting to honor any legacy this man has left behind. That should be in the dustbin of history, and we should hopefully move on and forget the hate that he spewed every single day.
So Charlie Kirk should be left in the dust. His legacy should be left in the dustbin of history. So what you have to do here is go after this woman. We got nothing to do with violence. We want no violence, but we don't want any of that. I don't want her physically harmed in any way, shape, or form, but she needs to be deported. You know what I mean? For political retribution? Look at me right now. Yes. Yeah, she married her brother so her brother could and one of the qualifications for losing your naturalized citizenship is immigration fraud, which she committed with her brother by marrying her brother.
Yep.
And claiming that this was a normal marriage, so she married her brother. So she qualifies to be deported back to Somalia. This has to happen. It doesn't matter the political what more political ramifications can we get? I don't know what I'm going to get to tonight, but I've got videos where Gavin Newsom just outlawed police wearing masks in California, which he can't do to federal officers, but he's just a buffoon. And standing right behind him is Scott Wiener. Right behind, I didn't know Scott Wiener was so tall. He's like 6'7". That's the guy who wants to make sure that criminal penalties for people who sodomized 14-year-olds in California are lessened, which they were through Gavin Newsom and his wife.
Yep.
Man, imagine waking up in the morning and your cause celeb, your motive in life is to lower sodomy penalties for those who anally rape 14-year-olds. That's Scott Wiener and Gavin Newsom. So anyway, but this woman needs to be deported. I mean, that lock, stock, and barrel. I mean, please, fire Bondi. Fire Patel, fire Bongino, bring in Ken Paxton. He's already been through the ringer. They've already criminally tried the man. He's already been falsely impeached, falsely criminally charged. Bring him in. It's like me. It's already over. I'm never going to have a good reputation in the Christian community. I don't want one. They're all the COVID cavers. I don't want the COVID cavers to think highly of Tom Lipley. Screw them. I don't care about what they think. Ken Paxton's already there. Bring him in. Put him in charge of the DOJ. Get this woman deported. Put Tom Holman exclusively on the Ilhan Omar deportation case. Get her out. Disgusting, vile woman. All right, go to the next one for me. So, the persistent Scott Pressler victory. Susan Swerick, the former director of health promotion and advocacy, has been terminated from Ball State University after Charlie Kirk's assassination. She posted, "Charlie Kirk's death is a reflection of the violence, fear, and hatred he sowed. Thank you, BSU." That's what she put. I mean, that's what he put. Thank you, BSU, for firing her. Here she is.
Gosh.
There, that's her.
Oof.
Yeah. How many chins can we find? I mean, actually, it's sort of just a double with a minor triple, maybe, but the double is so huge that there is no room for a triple.
Yeah. She's got a spare tire under her neck.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, literally. Yeah, initial right. Tire. She pull over, right, she's got a Michelin man underneath her face. So she's fired, and that's great. I love every minute of it. Ilhan Omar needs to be fired and deported, and she can go live. She can pick which warlord faction she wants to serve as, like Princess Leia under in Somalia.
Yes,
and she can. And, you know, we'll see if her American husband, who she stole, who she committed adultery with, who's her campaign advisor that she paid $3 million to, that they had an adulterous affair, just like Gavin Newsom had an adulterous affair with his chief campaign officer's wife. So I just like to see if he follows her to Somalia. All right, so I just have this one here, guilty pleasure on this one. See, side by side. So let's talk about this woman right here. There she is. All right. Washington Ghost video, the lady who ruined her husband's electric business issued a statement. So, she put out a vile statement about Charlie Kirk, which I'm going to show you in a minute. And so basically her husband, she claimed was her husband, turns out to be only be her boyfriend. Her boyfriend's electrical business was decimated because of this little political whore statement. So now she puts out this statement to fix her original statement. Play for me.
Wednesday, September 10th, when Charlie Kirk was shot, I posted a video offering him the same thoughts and prayers that he offered after every child was senselessly gunned down while at school. Within an hour, and before any condition was known on Charlie, I posted a follow-up video expressing why I felt the way I did, and even ended with, "I hope Charlie Kirk makes a full recovery and goes on to become a gun violence advocate." Since if you have watched any of the videos on my page, you would know I stand firmly on not being violent and that violence is not the way we are going to fix things in this country. Well, since I posted those two videos, my life has been completely turned upside down and I have been thrown into what I can only explain as literal hell.
So a typical liar who lies and lies about her lies, right? That's who she is. That's what it means to be a Democrat in 2025. You are a lie yourself. Who lies? And then you lie about your lies. So here was her statement. Remember, she said she offered the same thoughts and prayers as the kids that were gunned down in these various school shootings. Which, by the way, your odds of being killed by a gun if you're a kid are basically like being struck by lightning. But anyway, regardless of that, and of course, because I don't have time to get into it, how the stats are manipulated by the FBI UCR. But anyway, so she said that she put out the same thoughts and prayers. And by the way, just a quick thought on all these kids that she's so concerned about. Say it was a 7-year-old kid who was killed in the Catholic school shooting by a Democrat trans shooter. Mm-hmm. So she creates the shooter and then excoriates those of us who pray for the shooter's victims. But anyway, say it was a 7-year-old girl. Allegedly, again, this is a woman who assigns names like misogynist to people like me. But anyway, say it was a 7-year-old girl who was shot and killed. She would have gladly aborted that 7-year-old girl in the womb. So how is she an advocate for children? But that's, again, I digress. So she said that she offered the exact same prayers that Charlie Kirk offers, right? This is what, and this was the post that she put out right after Charlie Kirk was shot. And see if it lines up with how she described it in the video, in her so-called apology video. Play for me.
Gather around, bitches. Let's all join hands and bow our heads in thoughts and prayers for Charlie Kirk. Thoughts and prayers for Charlie Kirk. Thoughts and prayers. Thoughts and prayers.
Mm-hmm. That's what it means to be a Democrat in 2025. Right there. You're just an evil, demonic. And yes, right now I miss cussing.
Yeah.
That, I mean, she's an absolute repulsive human being. And then lies about her lies. She's a liar who lies and lies about her lies. That's what it means to be a Democrat in 2025. And they know they're lying. They all know. Schiff knows he committed mortgage fraud and is now lying about it. Letitia James knows she committed mortgage fraud and is now lying. They know they're a liar that lies and lies about their lies. They know about it. They know it. They know who they are. And they believe there's still honor in them. There's none. Here's another one from her. Derek Chulia's video. Here's what she said about Target. Play it for me.
Because they support us. But yes, we are not going back to Target. Not now, not ever. I don't fucking care. They could literally say that they only support DEI. Actually, in that case, we might go back. If they said no white straight Christian males allowed, it might be like a really safe place. But that's for a different time.
No white straight Christian males allowed. As long as that is Target's stand, she supports Target. That's what it means to be a Democrat in 2025. So her life's been ruined. You know what I have to say? Hey, good. Good. We're very happy about it. We're clapping right here in the TLP studio. All right, let's go to this one. Now, who do you support? Benny Johnson tweets, Steak and Shake. I'm eating Steak and Shake. I hope there one gets built right near me.
Yeah.
I'm going to be there all the time. Steak and Shake is sponsored a billboard for Charlie Kirk in Rome, Georgia. This is incredible. Stand up, speak out, stay bold. These should go up in every city across the country. Exactly right. Just so you know who to support and who not to support. Let's go to the next one. Ben Swan video. Charlie Kirk was exactly right to question whether or not Israel had a stand down order on October 7th. Tom's saying Israel shot Charlie Kirk. No, I'm not. I'm saying don't exonerate him without an investigation. Everybody agree?
Yep.
What's wrong with that? Or are you one of those people who's like, you know, sometimes to be a qualifier, to be invited to establishment Republican events or meetings or whatever, you have to support Israel. I support Israel in the same way that I support Great Britain, tentatively. Circumspectly, I support Israel because they are an alleged democracy. So I support them conditionally, not unconditionally. Conditionally, Israel does a lot of evil crap, but so does the United States, so does Great Britain. So they get conditional support. What's wrong with that? Is anything wrong with that? Oh no, we're commanded to support it. No, we're not. We're not commanded to support Israel at all, ever. Not in the Bible, ever, just so you know. But anyway, Charlie Kirk was Ben Swan video, exactly right to question whether or not Israel has stand-down order on October 7th. Would you not agree? Play it for me.
That YouTube has now taken down a video in which Charlie Kirk questioned whether or not on October 7th, the Israeli government issued a so-called stand-down order.
Was there a stand-down order? Was there a stand-down order? 6 hours? I don't believe it. Israel's the size of New Jersey. When I took a helicopter ride from Jerusalem to the Gaza border, it's 45 minutes.
Wow.
6 hours. They're live streaming the killing of Jews. Did somebody in the government say stand down?
Well, the reality is that Charlie Kirk, in his questioning, was exactly right. Last year, we put together a series of videos specifically about October 7th. And in it, we talked specifically about this issue. Was there a stand down order that was issued by the Israeli government that prevented the military from going in and rescuing people, taking them out of this situation where they were being held by Hamas? Again, what Charlie Kirk said there was correct, but here's the proof that backs it up. And once the Hamas attacks began, the time it took the Israeli army and rescue teams to arrive, fight, and rescue Israelis at the different kibbutz communities and sites being attacked, well, that ranged anywhere from 4 hours to more than 20 hours. Even the New York Times has reported, quote, thousands of soldiers were less than 40 minutes from the towns that were under attack. So why did it take so long for help to arrive? And we've discussed how days before the festival, two entire brigades of soldiers were taken away from the area of the Gaza border and then sent to the West Bank. And you might think that immediately upon receiving information of a devastating attack on partygoers, military authorities would alert units to immediately exit their bases, race to the side of the conflict, and go on the counterattack, right? But that's not what happened. Peretz reported, quote, at 7 a.m., the party organizer called Lieutenant Colonel Elad Zendani, the man tasked with approving the festival, and told him that terrorists were shooting the partygoers. He suggested that they fend for themselves. The first IDF forces arrived at the party scene at 3 p.m. That's 8 hours for a response time for one of the most efficient, capable, and well-militarized security forces in the world, operating in a country the size of New Jersey, with their Gaza division only a few miles away. What makes it even more strange, around 4 hours into the Hamas assault at 10:46 a.m., Israel was already launching operations and bombing targets inside of Gaza. So hold on, let that sink in. If Israel could begin an offensive attack into Gaza within 4 hours, why did it take more than 6 hours? In most cases, more than 10 hours, and in some cases, 20 hours to mobilize inside their own country to stop the ongoing attack, to defend the lives of their own.
And again, this needs to just be investigated in and of itself, even outside, independent of the Charlie Kirk assassination, which it never was. We're just going to blindly bomb Iran. Let's go bomb Iran. What happened? What exactly happened on 10-7-23? What happened? So this, just real quick. So you have this music festival and an Israeli soldier in charge of its security. It gets attacked at 7 a.m. Everyone get, make sure we understand the timeline. 7 a.m. And his response as an IDF colonel is fend for yourself. And again, how did they get in? How did they get over the Israeli wall? Yeah, they have walls. Paragliders through one of the most ardent, technologically advanced air defense systems on the freaking globe. A lot of it American technology.
Yep.
Somehow paragliders get through. You know what would solve basically any sort of paraglider assault? A pistol.
Yeah.
And nothing. And Charlie Kirk has even said in previous interviews, he's been to that wall and you can't walk 10 feet without an IDF soldier with an AK-47 or an AR-15. So the IDF's response at 7 a.m. is fend for yourselves. And they had literally, even though they had strangely, Aaron, moved a lot of their forces to the West Bank away from the wall right before the event. But even besides that, they still had thousands of soldiers within 40 minutes, but not a soul showed up. Not a soul until 3 p.m. 3 8 hours later. Not a substantive response until 8 hours later. But Aaron's going to love this part. But only 3 hours into it, they were already bombing Gaza, not rescuing their people or the 100 or so Americans that were taken hostage, not rescuing them. They'd already started bombing Gaza. As if this was an instigated attack to give them a supposition to bomb Gaza.
Yeah.
Not worried about rescuing their people. 1,400 of them slaughtered, 100 of them being Americans. That wasn't priority one. Because their forces were diverted or sent to Gaza to start bombing 3 hours in. And they didn't even bother to try to rescue their own people for eight. So this would appear that there would appear to be some sort of strategic tactical problem here. Because you could always bomb Gaza the next day, could you not? So this would appear to be some sort of false flag stand down. Like, we need instigation. We need a supposition to bomb Gaza.
Yeah.
And Charlie Kirk was questioning this. Kind of a big deal. I mean, we know Israel likes to assassinate people. By the way, so do we.
Yep.
So that should be looked into. No door should be closed. Not saying it. Listen, my gut instinct is that it was the trans community. My gut instinct is that it was the trans community used by intel agencies to gun down Charlie Kirk. That's my opinion. But I don't know that. So everything needs to be looked into. All right, it's almost 10:20. That's good. I have so much. I got to nothing tonight. Rumble Rants tonight. Robin Aroni, $25. Thank you so much. Jules, 21 hours from church, $10. Thank you so much. Todd Suff from church, $10. Thank you so much. Robin Aroni from church, thank you so much. Love you. Conservative Warrior, $5. Thank you so much. Skunk 71, $5. Thank you so much. Christopher Arnott, $2. Thank you guys so much. And I got news from Brent's wife. They're now switching to Steak and Shake. for their date night. So all of our Rumble Rant money will go to the illustrious, all expenses paid steak night, steak and shake night out for Brent and his wife.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So just so you know, your money is going to a good cause.
Beef tallow fries, baby.
Beef tallow fries, which Charlie Kirk loves. But anyway, all right, we love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you back here tomorrow night. Oh, stick around for post game. Stick around for post game. It's awesome. You want to cry a little bit more? It's awesome. But anyway, stick around for it. Love you guys. Back here tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. God bless you.